Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, my first question was going to be about one big, beautiful bill. Maybe Congressman Ryan Zinke has one big, beautiful update for us. But apparently Congressman Ryan Zinke was just on CNN talking about this beautiful plane, the Qatari plane being gifted to the United States of America. Congressman Zinke, great to have you on the show. Tell us about your back and forth with CNN just a few minutes ago.
Well, yeah, I've been on Air Force One with the president, and you recall when he first came into office at 45, Boeing was charging too much for the plane, it was late, and he struck a deal. So where's the Boeing plane? Where's our plane? And then, you know, with this plane, it must be nice. I haven't seen it, but it has to be nice. And it went through Bondi, so it went through IEG, so it's legal and ethical on that. But it must be one heck of a plane. And, you know, his comment was, hey, you must be stupid not to take it. It's a $500 million plane, you know, and it's not a gift to the president. It's a gift to the U.S., government to government. But, you know, I can see why people raise an eyebrow on it on both sides of the aisle. But, you know, I know the president well, and he's a business guy, right? And he's in, you know, Middle East making deals. I understand he's going to announce another just amazing deal on, I understand it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars of investment, and maybe even more than that of investment coming back to this country. So, you know, I look at it and go, hey, with the president, he saw it. He goes, you know what? This is a heck of a plane. So, but you know, this is what remember the president's background. He's a billionaire from Manhattan. He also is a master of media. So you see things like the Gaza golf course and resort. You see things like the plane. You see things, and he is at lightning speed, and he changes the narrative to a degree as his will. But on the background, I think the most serious thing is we had the reconciliation coming in. And from Montana, you know, I don't want to speak for Steve and Troy and Tim, but we're very, very, you know, acute to the fact that, look, we don't want a stiff tax bill for Montanans. We got to make sure that we protect family farms and ranches by extending the death tax, making sure we don't lose our family farms for businesses. But, you know, you also have to make sure that it balances the budget neutral. So where are we finding savings? And then that's going to roll over the taxes, but we should really pay attention to the debt as well.
Yeah, 5,000 small businesses that are a part of the NFIB. If the Trump tax cuts aren't reauthorized, that's a 20% tax hike for those small businesses as well. So we'll talk more about that one big, beautiful bill, hopefully with one big, beautiful update right after this.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I've got lots of topics I can bring up. I've got lots of questions I can throw towards Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. But this is your statewide town hall meeting with Montana's Western District Congressman. So give us a call if you've got a question or a comment, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's start with one of your phone calls. We've got Sue in Darby first up. Sue, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Mr. Anthony. Excuse me, what he is doing to defend the Constitution of the United States from the acts of this president. Accepting a $5 million plane is not really kosher. I remember the days when Jimmy Carter gave up control of his little peanut farm because it would have been a problem. Trump is accepting crypto coins. He's accepting stuff in his businesses. What are you doing?
All right, Sue, thanks for the call. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts.
The Constitution, because I've given an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And the plane, it's not 5 million. I understand it's 500 million. It's a lot of money. It went through the AG, and it is both legal and ethical. And the government transaction, we've received other gifts, from foreign countries before. And, you know, the plane, by the way, Ronald Reagan's plane that they use is in the library. So, do I look at it? If it was me, I probably wouldn't do it. But then again, the president says, you know what? It's a better plane with Boeing. I don't think it's a constitutional issue, though.
I think you mentioned,
read it. It's 8 pages. It's a wonderful document.
I think you mentioned on CNN, okay, well, we were gifted from another country the Statue of Liberty, for example. So our country has been gifted other things in the past. What I find funny about the outrage that Trump is exposing here is, you know, these folks on CNN and elsewhere who are so outraged that we would get something from another country have no problem with us being $36 trillion in debt, giving all of our money to all these other countries and then flooding our borders with illegal aliens.
Well, you know, but I can see the point that you know, there are other, and this is, there's views, and we're a broad country, and we should have viewpoints, so I respect the view. I don't think it's a constitutional issue, nor is it from the AG a legal or ethical issue. I wish Boeing would have produced our plane. It disturbs me that we can't produce a plane in the time frame, because when Trump first came in, remember, he negotiated a better deal on that plane, and my question is, where is it?
Let's sneak in another caller here. We've got Tim in Shelby listening to KSEN. Tim, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I got a quick question for you on the auto pen. They said that Joe Biden pardoned his whole family and was done with the auto pen. Is that legal?
All right, great question. Let's throw that to Congressman Zinke. So Joe Biden's auto pen, of course, that's allowed. It's legal. But the question is, did Joe Biden actually know what they were signing under his name? I mean, he was off at the beach when a lot of these auto pen pardons were signed off on.
You know, and presidents do sign, auto pen. The question is, Was it President Biden's intent, or was he cognizant, of it? You know, certainly when the Trump administration, they questioned it. My understanding is that question has largely been resolved, because they are in fact pardoned. But when a president signs something, the president should be, and you've seen president, sign every executive order, with a lot of fanfare, et cetera. So I don't have a definitive answer, for you. But I think the pardons stand. So they're in effect of law. When a president signs something, there's an expectation, I think a constitutional obligation, quite frankly, that it is directly the president's intent to do that, and he's cognizant of those actions.
We talked earlier briefly, One Big Beautiful Bill. Do you have One Big Beautiful update for us? I saw the One Big Beautiful Bill just got a markup in the House Ways and Means Committee. Can you get the tax cuts, especially reauthorized and made permanent by a July 4th deadline?
The deadlines. So there's a couple of deadlines that are coming up. One is the debt ceiling, because Congress is going to have to take action on the debt ceiling. And the second is the tax provisions that are due to expire on the 31st of December. And my experience, Congress doesn't do much until we have to. But there's some provisions in the bill that I object to, quite frankly. I object to selling public land without process, and there are holdings the federal government has you know, that are around, you know, communities that are landlocked, you know, so to speak, for municipalities, for education, for emergency services. There's probably some affordable housing areas that are highest and best use. But there's a process to it. And the process is you have public hearings, you look at it, you evaluate it, you go through what's in the best interest, you have to do tribal consultation. You know, there's a lot of evaluation. So yeah, there are probably, you know, properties adjacent to or near, you know, vast, you know, federal holdings that would make sense. But it shouldn't be done without a hearing. It shouldn't be done without a process, without public comment. And you have to be really, really careful because, you know, our public lands and our parks were America's best idea.
All right, we got to hold it right there. Another quick break. We'll get back to more of your phone calls here in this Montana Town Hall meeting with Congressman Ryan Zinke. Back to your calls right after this.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, our phone lines are full right now, but if you want to send us a message on the Montana Talks app, that's a great way to throw out a quick question or comment. Or as the phone lines come open, you can call in 406-294-0970. Everybody wants to talk about Da Plain. Well, not everybody. But our next caller, let's see, Charmaine in Helena. Thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Good morning, Aaron. So good to talk with you, and I want to send out a huge thank you to Senators Daines and Sheehy and Congressman Zinke for the hard work they're doing to put forth this agenda on this administration. Thank you. My comment is regarding the airplane. It could be a distraction with the way Trump moves through his life and the things that he does, but let us not be deceived. Remember the Trojan horse.
In which way?
The Trojan horse and how they invaded with the Trojan horse.
Oh, okay. So be cautious then of this potential gift from the Qataris. Yeah. No. Yeah. Great point. And I know Donald Trump is eyes wide open. He knows exactly who he's working with and who he's dealing with. In fact, Congressman Zinke, you and I were kind of chatting during the break. Isn't it interesting that the same time the news comes out about this Qatari plane is the same time that we got our remaining American hostages out of the Gaza Strip? I think Donald Trump basically told them, because Qatar, you know, they know these folks. They're a big power player in that region. So I think Donald Trump told them, hey, you better make this happen. We better get our hostages back. I'm sure Donald Trump had a list of demands. And here he is in Saudi Arabia right now trying to restart the peace process in the Middle East and so much more.
Yeah, and I think it's a fair point. I'm sure that plane is going to go, they're going to go through it, you know, bow to stern to make sure there's no devices on it. Again, I have not seen the plane. I would imagine it's the Emir's plane. So no doubt is first in luxury in a beautiful plane and an upgrade from what he currently flies. But, you know, I think he's a master of also media. You know, you look at every day the pace of what's happening in the administration, the media is just on their heels. So if they want to wrap around the axle on this issue, go for it. There's a lot going on between, you know, obviously Putin, Zelensky. Zelensky's asked Trump to basically be in there. And when Trump's in there, Trump, it will be the room, believe me. With those two guys. So, you know, there's a lot going on in the world. I think what's amazing is just the pace. You look at what the last 140 days he's been in office or so. We have, you know, 10,000 troops patrolling the southern border from the Mexico side. Mexican troops, the Royal Mounties. By and large, we've solved the border crisis. And now we're removing the bad elements. It didn't take policy. It took a president.
That's right. I want to get your take on Gallatin County in particular as well, especially with these Gallatin County commissioners standing in the way of ICE and the Gallatin County attorney, I guess, proving that she is a far left Soros-style prosecutor. I know you were, as I understand it, you were working very closely with the sheriff there to help, you know, get a good deal in the works. And then the far-left base in Gallatin County, you know, basically forced the commissioners there to go soft and bow to the leftist pressure. Before we get Congressman Zinke's take on that, though, let's go to Marilyn in Lolo. Marilyn, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for your call.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Congressman. So I have been hearing, and I'm so infuriated to hear this, and I hope you're going to tell me it's not true. I, and a lot of people, so many people have wanted Planned Parenthood defunded. They are guilty of so much crime and fraud and corruption and murder and, I mean, harvesting babies' organs that are live. And there's a woman in Fort Collins, Colorado that just died in February because of an abortion at Planned Parenthood. The hormones that they're giving young children to supposedly transition them, and they've got to be defended. They have gotten billions of dollars from taxpayers who are not in favor of any of this, and yet Congress continues to fund them. Can you please tell me that they will be defunded?
Great question, Marilyn. Thanks for the call. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts?
The Hyde Act makes sure that taxpayer dollars do not fund abortion. I think what we'll find as you go through it is that probably the Biden administration looked at ways to funnel money, but I'll look at this issue, but I'm sure we're going to go back to the Hyde Act that, look, the position is that the U.S. government does not fund abortions. And that's been a long-standing policy. I think that's a prudent policy. Going back to real quickly on in Gallatin County, you know, I talked to Tom Holman. I talked to the sheriffs. The sheriff said, "Hey, we have a problem with beds. If we send illegal immigrants to our beds, you know, who's going to pay for them?" So Tom Holman assured me that, look, that I will pay whatever the county cost is, and I will ensure the county standards, not the federal standards, the county standards are adhered to. Tom Holman did me that, made that deal. I think the county sheriffs are the right people because the sheriffs know who's good and bad. Now, they have an outside organization coming to Montana. You know, we don't know the community, but you know the community does. And so sheriffs, I think, are the right people to do that. I'm highly disappointed the county commissioners are not doing what they're supposed to do is protect the citizens. That's the number one job, safety and citizen safety. So when you got bad characters going up and down the hill, there are many dealing drugs, child trafficking, sex trafficking, ask the sheriffs. You know, the sheriffs can go after these guys and hold them so ICE can pick them up. I'm disappointed with the county commissioners not to adhere to their duty of making sure that the great city of Bozeman and Gallatin remains safe.
Yeah, it's crazy. Trend Aragua, gangbangers have been arrested in the Bozeman-Belgrade area. The Mexican drug cartels have been targeting the area, a whole host of crimes. And, yeah, I asked Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown yesterday. I said, look, I know you're a Democrat. I know we don't agree on a lot of things, but, man, you're smarter than this. Like, why are you bowing down to the far left in your party? It's just outrageous. It shouldn't be a partisan issue, but the inmates are running the asylum all the way at the local level within that party right now is what it sure seems like. Let's go to another caller here. Let's see. We've got who is next up. Let's go to Leah in Kalispell. Leah, listening to KJJR, did you have a quick question or comment?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on. Just wanted to say that, Ryan Zinke, I think it's really interesting that you feel qualified enough to comment on the ethics of Trump accepting the plane when you, in fact, were fired just a few years ago for ethics concerns and related mounting misconduct allegations. But, yeah, I just had to point that out. But, you know, the big, beautiful bill is coming up, and there are proposed cuts to Medicaid, and 1 in 5 adults in Montana here rely on Medicaid, and 2 in 5 children in our state rely on it. This is essential medical access for people in our state. So I just want to know, how can you defend the cuts to this program, and Especially when these cuts are just paying for tax cuts for billionaires. I'm just, you know, a lot of us are just really upset as we're seeing this. So I just want to know what you have to say about that.
Well, I can tell you I'm not a billionaire, and I benefit greatly from the Trump tax cuts, as do all the other small businesses and working class folks here all across Montana. But Congressman Zinke, first off, your thoughts on the Democrat caller there with the canned talking points. The absurd lawfare and phony allegations against you. I mean, they criticized you over your socks. It was such a joke.
I went through 18 separate investigations, quote, on the horse I rode in on, my socks, my dog, for taking JetBlue. And all of them came to the same conclusion, by the way. No wrongdoing, because there was never wrongdoing there. And quite frankly, I couldn't afford the legal bill, so I wasn't fired. Second point is, all right, on Medicaid, Medicare, those who deserve the benefits will keep the benefits. Those who deserve the benefits will keep the benefits. According to the Office of Management and Budget, 1 out of 5 Medicaid transactions are fraudulent. So you got to get the fraud out of the system. And quite frankly, if you're a male making $100,000 or you're an illegal immigrant, you are not qualified for Medicaid. And so let's get the fraud and waste and abuse out of the system. For those that deserve Medicaid, I think it should be there. For those that don't deserve Medicare, I think it should be there. But those that don't deserve it and those that are riding the system, I think it's time. 36 trillion reasons why riding the system is put us in the state we are as a nation, and you got to pay attention to the debt. As far as taxes go, I don't want to see Montanans get faced with the largest tax increase in the history of this country. And so I am, you know, because Montana's struggling. Just call it the way it is. You know, I was at the food bank in Kalispell, you know, during Halloween, during Thanksgiving, and watched family after family that are trying. They're trying, but they're struggling. And I think we always should make sure we got a hand up, not a handout, but making sure those families, you know, are taken care of, and the kids. Because not every family is functional. Not every parents do a great job, but the kids shouldn't suffer for it.
I remember seeing the same thing in Libby. Last summer. I mean, we were giving out grocery store gift cards, and we had like 40, 50 people lined up a half an hour before the event started because that's how much they needed that kind of relief. And Libby is literally sitting on top of a gold mine, which is why we need to make our timber industry great again, make our mining industry great again, and all the above. Congressman Zinke, hold that thought. We're pushing up to our next break here. We got more callers on the phone lines. Let's see. We've got Laurel in Big Fork, Kevin in Billings, Dave and Laurel, and more on top of that. So stand by. We'll get back to your phone calls as we chat here in our statewide town hall meeting with Congressman Ryan Zinke. And by the way, I love it. I love it that the Democrats are calling in, too, because I remember when, you know, Tester was in office, he was way too chicken to take phone calls like this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
On Sunday, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins announced the suspension of live cattle, horses, and bison imports through U.S. ports of entry along the southern border due to the continued and rapid northward spread of New World screwworm in Mexico, effective immediately. Montana Stock Growers Association President Leslie Robinson says they support the secretary's decision.
I just want to reiterate that food safety and food security is national security, and I really appreciate, again, that the secretary has made the move that she has to make sure that this does not come into the United States. We've had it before, and we do not want it again, and I just appreciate that they are taking it as serious as they are. This is not a new problem, and they have known what was going on, and the United States government is trying to work with the Mexican government, and they have tried, but things are just progressing closer and closer to the United States, and that's why I feel the United States government has taken the position that they have to make sure that they protect our industry, and then we don't... We just have to make sure that they're handling it on the Mexican side also.
In the 1960s, America's cattle producers spent years and millions of dollars to eradicate New World screwworm from the U.S. Screwworm have been found just 700 miles away from the U.S. border in Mexico. I'm Lane Nordlund. Montana.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone calls here, 406-294-0970. We've just been taking your phone calls as they come in. Democrats, Republicans, none of the above. We just say, what's your name, where are you calling from, and very briefly, what do you want to talk about? And we've taken every call that's come in. Let's go next here to, as we do this statewide town hall meeting with Congressman Ryan Zinke. Let's go to Laurel in Big Fork. Laurel, thanks for patiently waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, good morning, Congressman and Aaron. Thank you so much for taking these questions. And, Congressman, I just wanted to also thank you for the Public Lands Caucus that you just launched. That was super exciting to see. My question is about the tax incentives for clean energy production and homegrown manufacturing. Aaron, you were just talking about, you know, bringing back some mining and logging. So these tax incentives bring power projects to Montana and some good paying jobs. So how do you see Congress working to keep them in place so that we can not only stay independent from China, but help Montana families have more affordable power bills?
All right. Laurel, thanks for the call. Yeah, let's throw it to Congressman Zinke. Your thoughts.
So on energy, especially in the Flathead, I am absolutely opposed to taking down a dam system in the Snake River, which occasionally comes up. You know, most of Flathead, you know, co-op get their electricity, you know, from that basin. You know, I'm also a big advocate for all the above. But look, if we lose Colstrip, and the Colstrip from the Biden administration was over particulate. Colstrip met the mercury, it met all those standards. It was particulate. And, you know, in Big Fork, you get more particulate in the air running up a truck up to Pole Bridge on that gravel road than you do what's coming out of stacks. So I think what's at risk is likely the tax credits for solar and wind. I think those are likely gone. In our energy picture, you have you know, power bases. You have in the Midwest, primarily Iowa, you know, ethanol and those subsidies, which we do subsidize ethanol a great deal. You know, and that was, you know, briefly that was put in when we didn't have fracking, and now we do. No one produces energy better or more efficiently and cleaner than the United States. So I think on our energy side, as long as we keep Colstrip, and as long as we keep our dams up, I think our energy looks pretty good. I think the biggest opportunity is probably micro nuclear. Quite frankly, modular nuclear. There's technology at Idaho Labs that is very, very promising. And I'm a huge advocate that's put one in Butte, that's put one in Colstrip. Because I think that's the future, and without energy, Montana can't manufacture anything.
Google just signed a deal for a small scale nuclear to power one of their data centers. Wyoming's going nuclear. Evelyn Pyburn in the Big Sky Business Journal had a big write up on that. The Montana legislature, I understand, just had some legislation supporting development of nuclear power. The real deal is we just simply need all of the above right now. Even the people who were preaching about so called green energy, even just 2 years ago, now they don't even care where it comes from. They just simply need the juice.
But, you know, I think there's a place for it. You know, I've always said, you know, on the roof of a home is an excellent place, you know, because it's already foul ground. You don't have to chew up public land, you know, at the end. And look, there, you know, sometimes when you look at these solar fields, you know, remember, a lot of this is on public land wrapped by a chain link fence. It's single use. You can't hunt on it. You can't recreate on it. So I think for solar power, there's magnificent technology out there that we should embrace. Especially for home, commercial, you know, immense power. You know, I'm all about science and look at best things. But I think, look, if we can encapsulate a nuclear power plant in a pressure vessel, submerge it, you know, over 1,000 feet, put a propulsion system on it and arm it, that's called a nuclear submarine, I think we can find a place on surface that is absolutely safe and efficient. I think that's the way we should go. We know it's clean. We got to have a place to store it. I would love Zucca Mountain again. But I think the future for Montana will include and should include modular nuclear.
All right. Let's go to our next caller here. We've got Kevin in Billings listening to KBUL. Kevin, did you have a quick question or comment?
So Ron Johnson has been talking about pre- and post-COVID spending in the budget, and his argument is, why do we have to keep spending this post-COVID one-time money year after year? He says, why don't we roll this back? What do we keep, you know, you don't go to the doctor and he fixes you, and we keep going, he keeps sending you a bill, and we keep paying it. And do you believe that Ron Johnson's argument are valid, that this post-COVID spending continually year after year has validity?
Well, and then on top of that, we had a caller yesterday. He said, hey, Congress, let's get it done. You know, Doge got a good start. President Trump is doing his part, fighting aggressively. Congress has got to start making some of this stuff permanent. They've got to start codifying a lot of this stuff to really crack down on the debt and deficit. Yeah, Congressman Zinke, your thoughts. And Kevin, thanks for the call.
I think Ron Johnson has some great points. I know him. I like him well. But remember, we weren't in great financial shape before COVID. You know, we are continuing spending. And we have a spending problem. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And on public lands, as has been mentioned multiple times, we don't have a land problem. We have a management problem. If we've learned to manage our forests so you can have access to them and so you can actually cut a tree so we don't, you know, live in a forest fire every season and make sure you have public access, it's a management issue more than it is a land problem. As far as our spending goes, we need to address where our spending is. Let's get rid of the fraud, waste, and abuse. Whether you like Mr. Musk or hate him or love to hate him, he purports that there's about $1 trillion, with a T, dollars of fraud, waste, and abuse in Medicare, Medicaid. So let's focus on that. Make sure we deliver the services and the benefits for those that deserve them. But if you don't deserve them, then you're going to have to be off the rolls. That's the way we should do it. You know, also, I think the states should pay more. You have some states that pay nothing. Montana, every time we have expansion, it comes at a cost to the federal government. So look closely how you expand Medicare and make sure it goes to the people that need it, and make sure there's an avenue to get off of it with jobs. You know, if everyone had a job up in Libby, you know, life would be good. But when you can't have access to a great resource, you can't mine, you can't have any economic activity, you know, people don't have a lot of choices.
Yeah, you mentioned you wouldn't need all those government programs and food banks as much if you had those industries thriving. Yeah, that's right. Well, I definitely got to get Congressman Zinke's take on the AOC Bernie Sanders rally in his district in Missoula here recently and some of the other cast of characters that were in the House for that. But first, Congressman Zinke mentioned public lands. We got a couple callers on the phone lines. You want to talk about that very subject. Let's go first to Dave in Laurel. Dave, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks very much for taking the call. I appreciate it. Thanks, Congressman Zinke. I know you've had strong support for public lands. I was just wondering if there's a chance to strip out of this big, new, beautiful bill the language those two congressmen from Southern Nevada and Southern Utah put in there to sell public lands. It was late at night that came in. Nobody knew about it. And that whole mindset down in that part of the world has been that way for a long time. I'd sure like to see that stuff stripped out of this big, new, beautiful bill if possible.
All right. Great great comment. Hold that thought. Let's sneak in another call on the topic from Matt in the Bitterroot, and then we'll get the congressman's thoughts on both. Matt, what did you want to share?
Hey, Congressman, thank you so much for your help in bringing money into the Bitterroot so that we can continue to develop. I know you're an advocate of public lands, and I just wanted to expand on what things you are doing to help keep public lands accessible to Montana and our way of life.
All right. Hey, Matt, thanks for the call. Congressman Zinke, I guess first let's go to what Dave and Laurel had to say. You know, you've been very clear about keeping public lands in public hands, and you don't want to lose the hunting and the fishing access, especially as, you know, Montana's landscape has changed fairly dramatically here in recent years. Can that provision be stripped out?
Well, it can, and I've been pretty forceful in it and said, look, if the provision stays in there, I'm a no. But there's management notes, you can strip it out, and do what it's intended to do. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at lands that are near or adjacent to communities, municipalities that are stuck, that, you know, for public good, for best and highest use on things like, you know, affordable housing when it makes sense, you know, smallest area compatible. That's the same language as it's in the Antiquities Act. And making sure you're, you know, as a secretary, I release land, you know, around Las Vegas per law. But if you think you're going to pay the debt off, you know, these guys that have 500,000 acres in Nevada. So there's a ranch for sale, by the way, 1 million acres, 600,000 of it is private. They want $37 million for it. It's a little short than $37 trillion. So just focus on making sure you have public comment. Make sure you do it right. There's a process to it. You have to have consultation with our sovereign nations. You have to have it appraised. There's a whole process when you're going to indict.
All right, hold that thought. We got to hit the harbor.
It's a management issue.
Yeah, that's right.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, you know, if Congressman Zinke, he's joining us over the phone, I think he's still stuck back in Washington, D.C., but if he was with us here in studio, I would give him a bottle of this Power Plus Pain Aid. Man, it's, you know, some people, you know, you think about it, you know, you get that lower back pain from carrying that rucksack around. Well, I'll tell you what, Power Plus Pain Aid, it's basically an energy drink along with pain-relieving vitamins. And even better yet, the whole product was built and started by a United States Marine Corps veteran in Big Fork, Montana. In fact, back in January, we did our show from Congressman Zinke's office. And the day before, I got to meet Lee, the founder of Power Plus Pain Aid, at Senator Dane's office during President Trump's inauguration. But if you want to try this product out, I'm telling you what, it's like medicine and energy all wrapped into one. You can get 15% off right now. Go to drinkpowerplus.com. Use the code FLINT15 at checkout, FLINT15, and get 15% off. All right, before I get to Bob in Conrad, Congressman Zinke, I got to get your take. So Bernie Sanders and AOC, they flew in on their private jet to Missoula, Montana. And AOC, she's pretty confident the Democrats can win in western Montana. And she was there, gave a shout-out to Zoe Zephyr, and even one of the fussy bussies was on the stage. I guess if that's the two candidates they think will win. What was your reaction to that rally?
Well, I'm flattered. I'm flattered they come, you know. And, you know, Missoula, and if you paid attention, that's exactly why Montana rejected him. But, no, I'm flattered. They came to Montana and talked about, you know, climate change and how responsible they are on their jet, and et cetera. And, you know, but I'm flattered. You know, hey, at least they got me on the docket, and Bernie Sanders mentioned me by name. Very, very flattering, Bernie. I've had him in committee before, so you know, and I think they articulated exactly why America's rejecting the agenda. Look, if that's the best they can come up with on those two, then you know. Again, what's the message? What are they promoting? Who's promoting it? Who's the leaders? You know, if Mark Cuban came, which I look at the last election, I think Biden hung on too long. He obviously Jill's in charge. I think they cross-decked without a primary to the vice president. I think she's a flawed candidate. They would have been a lot better with a Mark Cuban candidate that is feisty. You know, he's also, I think, one on one. You know, he could have fried sparred with President Trump. you know, better than Harris. I was flattered.
I think he's been busy serving as the body double for Rachel Maddow, though. So those two look pretty similar. It's kind of creepy.
Well, he made some bad trades, too, I can tell you. So, yeah.
Apparently, the NBA's rigged anyway. That's what they're saying now. All right, let's see. Let's sneak in one more phone call at least here. We got Bob in Conrad. Bob, great to hear from you. Did you have a quick question or comment?
I do. I think Donald Trump is always saying he's going to take care of the farmers. But in Montana, grain prices are so low, they've been just tanking. Last year, wheat was over $6. Now it's $4.40. What is Trump going to do to help the farmers? I've talked to a lot of bankers around the area. They say it's a disaster. They're going to call in a bunch of loans, and farmers are going broke in Montana. So what can you do to help to alleviate the problem?
Well, and yeah, look at what the head of the Montana grain growers just told us back at the Farm Expo in Plentywood. Under Joe Biden 2 years ago, for the first time ever, we became a net importer of farm products. So, yeah, Congressman Zinke, your thoughts? President Trump's got a lot of work ahead, especially after the disaster of the last 4 years.
Well, I think tariffs, quite frankly, hurt Montana more than any other state. You know, our trading partner in the north, and, you know, I grew up in Whitefish. We all have a lot of Canadian friends. But on just fuel, when we trade 86% with Canada and you put a tariff on that, that affects, because, you know, you look at Shelby, you look at Billings, you look at Great Falls, all those refineries are one source feed coming down. And we trade a lot with Canada. So I think on the tariffs, what's going on in trade policies, India needs to take our pulse crops. We need a more balanced trade deficit balance sheet on that. And our ag products, which is Montana, still ag. You know, we got a lot of tourism on the west, true enough, but Montana's still an ag state. And so cattle prices are up, but farming, and I agree with you, you walk in my office in D.C. and we have the grain prices, you know, on the board. We need to make sure we sell it to our allies. They take it, and we need to look at price controls. I'm not price control, but where the price is. It's too low because the input costs are also, you know, very, very high. And the last point is the inheritance tax or the death tax. If we don't provide, my understanding is the draft, you know, ups it a little from what it currently is. But if we don't extend that, we're going to lose every family and ranch in Montana because you just won't be able to recapitalize. So
that's right. That's right.
Aware of it, and certainly we are too.
Well, Congressman Zinke, appreciate your time. Great to hear all of the callers across Montana. Thanks so much for your time. Harley in Lewistown just sent me a message. Congress needs to get rid of the wilderness study areas in Montana. So, Harley, thanks for that message. And Congressman Zinke, thanks for your time. Great to have you on the show.
You know, I appreciate you doing this, and, you know, I also appreciate